You might want to consider the carbon footprint before you ask a chatbot to write bad haikus and stuff. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. First, there are the resources needed to make the power-hungry chips these artificial intelligence tools run on. Then, hours of intensive computing to train these large language models, and the cloud storage to keep them connected to millions of users. That all adds up, and Sasha Lucioni has been doing the math. She's the climate lead at the AI company Hugging Face. And she says just the process of training an earlier version of ChatGPT emitted about the same CO2 as a gas car driving more than a million miles.
Especially new generations of AI models, they take like literally millions of hours of compute time to train. So that uses a lot of energy. To produce that energy, you know, you have to use some kind of either natural gas or oil or coal or hopefully hydroelectricity. But that's like one big source of emissions. And also the hardware that's being used. So to create these GPU, like these special kind of chips that you need for training AI models, it uses like a lot of rare metals. It uses a lot of water as well. And the same thing goes for like cooling GPU servers. They actually also need to be constantly like cooled with water in order to prevent them from overheating. And so there's all these like environmental aspects. But since AI is so like ephemeral and so like it's this very vague concept and people have trouble realizing that it comes with like physical consequences and impacts. And I get that because it's like it doesn't have a body, right? But actually it's running somewhere on a cloud server that's being powered by coal electricity. It's just that we can't see it.
There are so many technologies that we use in our everyday life that have a lot of environmental externalities that we might not necessarily consider as much as we should. I mean, are these large language models unique kind of in that context or extreme?
So what worries me personally is that now it's kind of we're going through this phase where people want to plug them into everything. So for example, if you talk about like web search, right? Web search, I find it does a pretty good job. Like I can't complain. So instead of using the existing models, which are probably, I mean, mostly AI based as well, but they're just smaller models. They're kind of more efficient models. So the current like vogue is to replace those models with big language models. And in that case, for what's ostensibly the same result, like I can't imagine, you know, the web search results getting like 1,000 times better all of a sudden. You do use 1,000 times bigger model. We're not doing this kind of cost benefit analysis. It's kind of more driven by, I mean, what we call kind of AI hype. It's like, we want to say this is powered by GPT instead of being like, well, this is going to quadruple our energy consumption. Like people don't make that calculus in their mind.
Which sort of begs the question of whether maybe there need to be limitations on some of the more frivolous uses of these tools.
Yeah, that's kind of why I do what I do. I'm not against innovation. Like, I don't think we should all just stop doing AI research. But it for me, it's kind of the basis to say this thing costs this much, not necessarily in terms of money, but in terms of planetary, in terms of, you know, human cost. And then if that makes sense, if that algebra makes sense, then yeah, we're going to use it. But currently, we're not making that logical kind of decision where it's more like, why shouldn't we use the ChatGPT to do web search? But I think the environmental factor should be one of them because, you know, it's a lot less efficient than like the current model.
Could these tools and AI in general be part of climate solutions?
Oh, definitely. I'm part of an initiative, an organization called Climate Change AI. And we made like a menu for action of all these different ways. Like, I mean, literally detecting deforestation from satellite imagery because AI can like parse so much data at once. So for example, it can literally like compare 24/7 the state of the Amazon and then be like, oh, this changed. There's deforestation going on in this zone. And then, for example, get rangers to go there, right? So there's lots of climate positive stuff. I feel that what's a kind of a shame is that our current discourse is more focused on these. I mean, yeah, chatbots are cool, but I don't see them as like groundbreakingly useful in society. I think that people are just kind of impressed by their discourse, by the ability to kind of mimic human language. And so we've kind of got so caught up on these kinds of AI innovations, but there's so much more that exists that we don't, that's not on our radar because it's maybe like less appealing because it can't like write you a haiku.
Sasha Lucioni is the climate lead at Hugging Face. We've got more from Sasha at our website, marketplacetech.org, including an op-ed she wrote for Ars Technica earlier this month, where she outlines how large language models have been getting larger and more energy hungry with each leap. She writes, back in 2018, the largest model had around 100 million parameters, basically the connections inside the model that allow it to learn patterns. Today, Google's PaLM model has 500 billion parameters. And those are just the models we can look inside. OpenAI has been not so open about GPT-4's parameters. It could have billions or trillions, or as Sasha Lucioni told Bloomberg last month, it could just be three raccoons in a trench coat. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.